We are on the fly at Vintage, and it's a beautiful day, and thanks for joining us on EA Radio. Susan Dusenberry is the president of Vintage, and she has a special guest to introduce for us.
Thank you. Harry Balance. Harry is a friend of mine from Atlanta, Georgia, and I've known Harry for how many, probably 10 to 15 years, Harry?
Oh, I'd say longer than that even.
Longer than that. Yeah. And then Harry and I became really pretty good friends. We have similar airplanes. Harry was restoring his father's SR-5, and of course I have an SR-6 that I'm restoring. And Harry won the race. His is flying and mine's still a project. But anyway, what interested me so much about Harry's project to begin with is the fact that Harry's father bought this airplane in 1934 when it was new from the factory and flew it in his business for several years. And Harry's mother also flew, and she also flew this airplane, and she was a second licensed pilot, female licensed pilot in the state of Georgia. So there's quite a family history with this airplane. And with Harry, of course, Harry has the original photographs. And Harry, I couldn't be more impressed with the detail that Harry went through all these years. You know, we followed each other's progress with our projects. But it's just amazing what Harry has done with this airplane. But I'm going to let him tell you about it.
Yeah, Harry, give us a couple minutes on how this restoration came to be. It's a beautiful airplane, by the way, on Rose Plaza.
Yes, indeedy. Well, first of all, Susan alluded to the fact that I won the race. And I got to say that I won the race with a lot of help from my friends, as the expression goes, or it takes a village. Barry Hutton, who's sitting right over there, did all the sheet metal work, which is just phenomenal. And the painting. And another good friend of mine who's up here with me, Leo Robertson, did most of the fabric work. And a friend of ours who couldn't make it because of health reasons, Harold Spivey down in Atlanta, did a tremendous amount. Plus, there are a lot of other people that touched the airplane. Let's just say I kind of orchestrated it. But the airplane came into my life originally about 1980. A guy named Gary Wilson had rescued it from the back of a hangar in Painesville, Ohio. And I saw the airplane for the first time in 1989, even though I'd always heard my parents talk about the Red Stinson. And I kind of wondered what had happened to it about 2006, and I tracked it down on the internet and ended up buying the airplane. The airplane was what you call, in the car business, a 50-yard jewel, and I flew it down to Atlanta and figured, this airplane is going to kill me if I don't do something with the engine. And so one thing led to the other. And virtually,
that's how it all starts.
Yeah. Every piece, every nut and bolt has been off of that airplane. It's all been cleaned, bead blasted, stripped, whatever, inspected, replated, repainted, and put back on. And I had a tremendous, tremendous restoration team working. They're all very detail-oriented, as I am, which is probably a good thing to be in the airplane business. And what can I say? I want to thank all of them, particularly those three guys, for the work they did on the airplane.
Well, I have a question for you. Did your dad ever tell you why he chose the SR-5?
My father learned to fly in 1928 at Candler Field in Atlanta, and he had a Stinson SM-8A. And the story goes, as I recall it, he flew it up to Wayne, Michigan, where the Stinson factory was on the site of the current Detroit Metro Airport. And somehow he came back with this airplane right across the field. Now, why he preferred that over a Beechcraft, I don't know, but he was always a Stinson guy. He had the SM-8A, he had this one, and he sold it in 1938 to buy a Stinson SR-9 Gullwing. And
another beautiful airplane.
Yeah. Then when World War II came along, the government said, we'd like your airplane, Mr. Balance. And there was no civil aviation in World War II. The government took basically all the private airplanes. And after the war, he figured he was too old to get back into it. And it was all a distant memory for them at that point.
Wow.
And old war stories for me.
Well, it's such a neat thing that you were able to find the airplane and get it back in the family. After that break.
I agree.
My similar story, my dad sold in a Champ in 55, and I have been having a heck of a time finding an airplane because the in-number has been deregistered. And so it can be quite a time-consuming battle to try and figure out where these airplanes are.
Oh, I agree. The good thing about this is it's the same in-number. the same N number as it was when it left the Stinson factory. So nobody changed it to a vanity N number or anything like that. So that
wonderful.
Not only helped in the restoration but in finding the airplane, but it, as far as I'm concerned, it lends an air of authenticity to it because you still have the original N number.
So Ray was saying earlier, this restoration just finished, right? I mean, you flew
the
it.
First this flight, was the first flight of this airplane was January 12th.
Okay.
I'm sorry. July 12th.
July 12th.
Which
just
was like 10 days
month.
Ago.
Yeah.
We finished the restoration. We got the garnish moldings in, got the wheel pants striped. 5 o'clock on Friday, we said, let's go eat some supper. And so Barry was already driving up here. Harold went home. Leo and I took our wives out to eat oysters. And we got in the airplane at 7 o'clock the next morning and started flying to Oshkosh. We got stuck by weather along the way, I guess everyone did, but we made it in yesterday morning and happy to be here.
Welcome, and it's beautiful. I mean, it's a treat to have it here. It's a wonderful job. Thank you for joining us on the radio today.
It's a real thrill to be here, and particularly it's not so much a thrill to be here by myself, but with the airplane. It's great.
Yeah,
and thank you all for your hospitality.
Oh, thank you. So, Ray, Susan has a little secret that I didn't know about until just a couple days ago. I heard a rumor that you were the first female IA in the United States.
That's correct. Yeah.
I don't think many people know that.
I'll tell you how that happened. There was an airplane that I wanted, and I didn't have any money. I'll be honest, I didn't have any money. And I knew the payments would be $120 a month. I didn't have $120 a month. And I had an A&P license. I had gone to 4 years of undergraduate school and then 2 years of A&P school and had restored an airplane. So I qualified for my IA. There were no IAs in the area where I was located at the time, which was where I had graduated from college. So I said, you know, I see an opportunity to get this airplane paid for. So I asked the FAA, do I qualify as an IA? They said yes, they approved it, and so I got my IA certificate to pay for this airplane. And then the FAA contacted me. Oh, by the way, you're the first IA in the female IA in the United States.
That's a great story. I love that story. Well, there's a lot of things going on down here in Vintage, and there's a gal joining us now with her friend. Ladies love tail draggers, and we got to chat with them a little bit last year. But we're glad to have Judy back,
Judy Birchler,
and along with Judy is Wendy Lessig, and welcome. Thanks for joining us again, Judy, here on the radio.
Thank you.
So, what are we going to talk to Judy about this year?
Well, Judy has a unique story. Judy is from Indianapolis, Indiana, and a few years ago, she was looking for another female pilot just to chum around with, just to fly around Indiana with. She started researching on the internet. One thing led to another, and she created Ladies Love Tail Draggers. And this is a phenomenal website, ladiesloveTailDraggers.com, but it's turned into a ladies pilot organization that has become worldwide. Judy, tell us about Ladies Love Tail Draggers.
Yeah, and specifically what's changed, because it's been a year. We talked to you, and it was growing, and what's happened in the last year now?
Well, it's not only what's happened in the last year, but it's what's going to happen in the next few months that's really exciting. Ray, you're absolutely right. I was looking for one or two ladies to go flying with. You know, the boys always take off in their airplanes on Saturday mornings to go to breakfast or lunch or whatever, and they'd always let me go along. But I wanted some girls to fly with. And so I started a little blog hoping to find somebody. I live in Indianapolis and thought maybe in Indiana or Ohio or Kentucky I'll round up a gal or two. And first person was from Ohio. Good. Then another one from Indiana. Good, because I knew both of them already and begged them to sign up. But then somebody from California signed up, and somebody from New Zealand signed up, and all over the world people started signing up. And right now we have well over 30,000 members based all over the world, all women tail dragger pilots. The thing that I love about this organization is we're about flying for fun, flying tail draggers specifically for fun. I'm a member of the 99s also. I love them. Women in Aviation. Both those organizations are behind women and especially flying professionally. But to get to that level, you got to love to fly to begin with. You got to start somewhere, and there's no better place to start than with a tail dragger. So that's the story. Would you like to know what's coming up?
Yes, tell us what's coming up, and right here at Oshkosh, too.
Okay, all right, coming up right here at Oshkosh, we are, of course, going to do your vintage in review, Ray. Thursday, we'll have three women tail draggers here on Vintage Circle, and Ray will be interviewing those ladies, and we'll be looking at their airplanes. We're having our Ladies Love Tail Dragger lunch tomorrow, Thursday, at noon, and any women pilots, tail dragger or not, that are interested in flying tailwheel airplanes, please come to our luncheon at Tall Pines Cafe.
And to be clear, it's Tuesday, right? Tomorrow.
Tuesday. Tuesday tomorrow, noon, Tall Pines Cafe. Just an hour, so don't waste any time. Get over there, take the trolley, tram, whatever. Just get there. And let's see, what else have we got this week?
Well, besides, you know, just you get together with the ladies. You're going to have them out here wearing your T-shirts. One thing about your website. LadiesLovesTailDraggers.com, and each lady has a little profile, which is really interesting. You can find out about that person and what they're flying and so on.
That's right. Everyone that registers on the website, they send in pictures of themselves and their airplane and give us a little bit of background, where they're flying out of, what the airport is, what they love about flying tail draggers, their dream tail dragger, anything and everything that they want to share with the world, basically.
And you brought, one of those with you.
Yes, I brought one of my favorite lady tail draggers.
And Judy, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk to Wendy about her interest in the organization and that kind of thing.
Great, thank you.
J-Mod G, we're on the fly at Vintage, and you're listening to EAA Radio.